You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jessica Spring, and she's talking to me from Tacoma, Washington. Jessica, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jessica, I want to talk about the work that you're doing. It's hard for me not to ask what Tacoma, Washington is like or what your studio or press setup is like there. So can you describe a little bit what your studio in Tacoma is like there?
Yeah, I'm sitting in it right now. It's a converted garage, and I have lots and lots of type and printing presses, work from other artists hanging up on the walls. But it's a letterpress shop. And I live about half a mile from the Puget Sound, so it is really beautiful. And especially this time of year when we have the really long, light days, it's my favorite time.
Wow, so the Puget Sound, that's the kind of really gorgeous body of water there?
Yeah. Mm. That connects to the Pacific. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Well, it sounds beautiful. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing. Yeah, the letterpress shop. Maybe we should begin with how that got started and how you set that up.
I've been printing. I started printing in Chicago, actually, which is where I lived and went to grad school. And before that, I started out as a typesetter when I was in college. I went to McAllister College and worked on this huge Linotronic Edit Writer 3700, and you set up this huge keyboard, and it's kind of like typing HTML, and I would work for the newspaper, for the school paper, and
let me just stop you there for a minute. So you're working for the school newspaper. This Linotronic is this, as I understand it, it's a complete beast of a machine that's lining up molds and lead's being poured. Is that how that works?
No. This is a little later technology called phototypesetting. So it's actually not as elegant as lead type, but it shoots through reprographic film and creates the image. So when we used to do paste up, I don't know if you ever did that. You know, we'd paste up type and then that would be reproduced offset. But then my experience kind of went backwards. So I finally learned the technology that preceded phototypesetting. But I think it definitely, having had that experience, I learned a lot about type, and I definitely learned about how to imagine what type would look like on a page, you know, because we didn't have WYSIWYG.
Right. And so when did that, so that's an interesting trajectory. Are you moving backwards from photo set type and laying out to handset type? And this was a few years after school that you kind of got involved with handset type, with letterpress?
Yeah, at that point I was in Chicago, and we had the opportunity to get a Vandercook. I was partner in a design firm, and the School of the Art Institute was getting rid of a press, and we said we would take it, you know, for the price of moving the thing. And that's just unheard of now. You know, Vandercooks are going for thousands of dollars. But I learned how to print
this on that thing. This is a Vandercook proof press or a Vandercook poster press? Is that what it is, a kind of hand crank?
Proofing press. Yeah, exactly. So they were really made to create one perfect reproduction that plates could be created from, but artists figured out that they're pretty amazing to print multiple colors in tight registration and do some really cool work with handset type.
And also work in a large size, right? You can put like a 22 by 30 sheet of paper on there or something, can't you?
Well, yeah, none of my presses are that big, but I can go up to 15 inches by like 22. So it is, the scale's great, yeah, definitely.
And it's a huge machine, incredibly heavy, isn't it? I mean, 15 by plenty of still. It's a monster, isn't it?
Yeah. So when we moved out here from Chicago, we brought the printing presses and all of my type with us. My husband got a job out here, and the part of the deal was, you know, well, I'll take the job, but my wife is an artist, and you know, she needs to move her studio too. So they're like, well, yeah, yeah. And I think they thought maybe I was like, you know, a watercolor painter or something. And they had no idea what they would agree to. So mountains and mountains of equipment came with us from Chicago. And it turned out to be a good choice because the equipment is obviously getting harder to get a hold of, but also Chicago is such a center, was such a center of printing that the equipment was more easy to get there. So it was a good call to bring it all with us.
And yeah, and I imagine, yeah, quite a feat. So then you set up a letterpress shop where you moved. You moved from Chicago to Tacoma and set up the shop and began printing there?
Yeah, so I do my own work. I teach at a school called Pacific Lutheran that has a publishing and printing arts program. And then I've been working on a collaboration for many years with Chandler O'Leary called The Dead Feminists. And so I kind of have five different jobs going all the time, like most artists.
So tell me a little bit about the Dead Feminist, that collaboration. What will that be? What is that exactly?
It's a project that started before Obama, during the election before Obama took office. And Chandler had moved to town and was really... I was frustrated with the election, especially all the talk centered around Sarah Palin and her eyeglasses, and Chandler's an illustrator. So when I met her, she had just moved to town. I had found this great Elizabeth Cady Stanton quote, and it goes, "Come, come, my conservative friend, wipe the dew off your spectacles and see the world is moving." And I thought, if she would draw some Sarah Palin glasses, then I could add some type to it and we'd have a really cool print and it would support Obama. And next thing I knew, she drew the whole print, beautiful hand lettering, really amazing piece. We printed it together. And so the whole project started at that point, and we immediately sold 44 copies. They were letterpress printed on the Vandercook, and so we just finished now our 26th print was Fannie Lou Hamer, but we came out with a book about the project last year with Sasquatch Books, which is a regional publisher. So it talks about the different women that we featured over the past years, and kind of delves more into the social issues that the prints are about and about the women's biographies. So we focus on women, but they have to be dead, thus the name.
Right, and these are and so what's coming out of that now is, I mean, there's that book that's already come out, but there's also broadsides that you're making.
Yeah, limited edition broadsides. Yeah, there's, in fact, Yale has some of them in their special collections. Yeah, so all different women, you know, everyone from Shirley Chisholm to Imogen Cunningham to Eleanor Roosevelt, Harriet Tubman, Virginia Woolf, Annie Oakley, but each woman is tied to a particular social issue, social justice issue we really want to talk about. And that's what's continued to fuel the project.
I love that. And before talking about another project, how do they go into special collections like Yale or New York Public Library or others? How does that happen? I mean, they certainly seem deserving of that. And I've had pleasure of looking through some special collections at some beautiful things in different libraries all across the country. But how do they end up there? Is that something that you they know of your press and ask for it, or you're reaching out to them?
I think the Yale connection particularly happened because we exhibited at the Codex Book Fair. But other ways it happens is through Famp and Tramp. They sell artist books. They represent different artists and travel around to special collections around the country, sharing the work.
So tell me about those two things. There's the Codex Book Fair, and the other one was, what was the company
Vamp
you just mentioned?
And Vamp and Tramp, yeah. It's
Vamp
and
Tramp.
Yeah, they're amazing. They go all over the country showing the work of book artists and especially visit special collections at different universities and represent us. So essentially a traveling sort of gallery of book arts. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And the Codex Book Fair?
That happens every other year. In San Francisco. I think technically it's in Richmond, California, but it is a gathering of book artists who, you know, table their work and people can come to visit. And so special collections librarians attend, and it's a pretty amazing event just in terms of, like, it tires your eyes out. There's so much beautiful stuff to see.
Wow, I love that. I love that. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so to come back to just the what you're doing now, so there's the collaboration you're doing and obviously your press, Springtide Press, which is, I guess, where you're talking from, continues to produce your work and also other collaborations, because I know I've seen some of your work on Etsy. That's some part of where some of it gets sold, is that correct?
Mostly what I sell on Etsy. I essentially invented some tools for letterpress printers to set their type in a curve or an angle.
I saw that, yeah, the furniture that you're making, the custom furniture.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's called Daredevil Furniture, and I kind of came up with it maybe 5 years ago, and it just continued to interest other printers. So that's been kind of another job that, you know, keeps me interested, because I've also been able to research other historical methods of typographic composition, and that completely fascinates me, because we've just lost a lot of knowledge about how it was done and tricks of the trade, and so any way that we can kind of figure out to make metal type particularly exciting again for people, and to bring them back to using it, also support.
Well, and wood type too, right? You're using wood type as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I definitely use wood type. I think it's an easier sell. People love wood type. It's very immediate, and if it's beat up, they like it even more. Whereas you have beat up metal type, people don't really appreciate the patina. They think it just looks like bad printing, you know?
Right. Let's talk about one book that you're working on now. Is there a current project on the press that you're working on or in the middle of and developing?
Yeah, I've been focusing on memory for a while. My father died of Alzheimer's a year ago, January. And so while he was declining, I started a project called Recollection or Recollection that focused on a lot of his own collections from a really young age, milk bottle caps, stamps, matchbook covers, and then reproduce some of those items on a really large scale, like 400% of the original, and created sort of a mini museum with my own prints and then my dad's actual collection. So I did that while he was still alive in our old post office here in Tacoma. And that was really cool to be able to bring him to see it and to enjoy sort of the stories that it pulled out of him when we actually were working with these objects. So sort of based on that and my continuing interest and my declining memory as an aging artist, I'm definitely interested in exploring this idea a little more. So I've got a residency at the Morgan Conservatory to do some papermaking this summer. And I've also been collecting discarded journals from a local university here and kind of looking at ways to combine those discarded journals and lost information into some kind of paper format, and looking at mnemonics as ways to sort of save your memory and nostalgic memories of the mnemonics that we created as kids. Mm-hmm. So I don't have it all dialed in. It's sort of swirling around in my head, but I'm working on pulling all the details together.
And that sounds very interesting and wonderful. What you said initially about the objects that you were making that were your father's, you said matchbooks and other things that you made 200 times the size. Is that what you're saying? So these are objects. Or 400 times the size.
400%, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're making a matchbook that's letterpress printed, folded, put together, 400 size, four times as big as it would normally be.
I didn't actually make the physical matchbook. I used the images. So you remember, you know, those sort of cheesy, you can learn to draw advertisements from the 40s and 50s. So those kind of images I reproduced, but on a much bigger scale, you know, and included like the strike bar for the matchstick. And so, you know, it's a matchbook cover, but it's not the actual reproduction of the whole thing. It's a print.
Fascinating.
I like the idea of doing a huge matchbook, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should collaborate. I like that, too. And I also have a big fondness for this. I had a Vanderbilt proof press at one time and very interested in bookmaking myself, so I really relate to what you're doing. Before we go and I ask you the last question, is there anything else you want to say about your press? There'll be links to it here. I know that people can buy things online, so there'll be links to all of that in the interview. Is there anything else we should say? Like, do you also work with artists in binding or printing artist books?
I don't do a lot of work for other artists just because I'm not able to get my own work done. But if they're interested in learning more about the Dead Feminists, it's deadfeminists.com is the website for that project.
Terrific. And let me ask you the last question. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what people are reading.
I'm reading Art of Memory by Frances Yates, and it's pretty interesting. It definitely has been a good thing to read while I'm working on this project.
Well, Jessica, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work.
Thank you. Thanks for including me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.